Today, the State Department of Health Services reports 2,392 new COVID-19 cases in the last 24 hours. That's more than double the number of new cases reported yesterday and brings the total number of cases in Arizona to 39,097. 1,219 Arizonans have now died as a result of COVID-related illnesses. 25 of those people have died in the last 24 hours.
Arizona has caught national attention now as COVID-19 cases continue to spike, hospitals are near capacity, and residents venture out more and more. Governor Doug Ducey has not looked back on his plan to reopen the state. At a press conference last week, Ducey acknowledged the rising caseload is not what he'd like to see, but he pushed back against the idea that Arizona isn't prepared for more. My next guest has argued the governor could take action right now to make a meaningful dent in the number of cases without shutting down the economy. Andy Slavitt was acting administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services under President Barack Obama. And I spoke with him earlier about whether Arizona should be doing more to try to stop the virus.
Start with this. I'm not sure that it can be prevented. We can only manage it. This is how the virus works. It travels to places where it hasn't been before and where people haven't been infected. And so every part of the country should expect that to some degree or other, they're going to have to be dealing with COVID-19. And the reason I think it's important to start that way is people want to blame the governor, or they want to blame, you know, the Memorial Day barbecues or protests or what have you. And certainly things can exacerbate the situation, and how we react to it's very important. But we only have one enemy here, and that enemy is the virus. You know, I think Arizona's response has been not very conservative. It's been very, let's just see what happens. And if things get really bad, I think that's probably not the best way to approach a virus that can infect a lot of people, and a lot of people will die.
And have, of course. Are we in a position now where this comes down to a leader, though, needing to send a more direct message? The fact he's been criticized, the governor has here, for not wearing a mask, though he's encouraged others to do so. Does that take some personal responsibility away from folks? Are they able to say, even as adults, well, the governor, it's do as I say, not as I do?
I think it would be incredibly helpful if Governor Ducey wore a mask and started to show some concern. I think what politicians often misjudge is that if they're the deliverers of bad news, people will blame them. And the public has a greater tolerance if you're leveling with them for dealing with challenges. If you have people who scoff at wearing masks, or they view it as a political statement, the best way to overcome that, if you believe you're going to save lives, which I think the governor must believe, is to show them why that's not the case. Governors in other states, including Republican governors, have been willing to do that because they know that there's too much at stake.
When we see the data from Arizona and the spikes that we've seen, of course, there's been the argument by some that, well, this is because our testing has improved, so certainly the numbers are going to go up. But there's a lot more to it than that. How do you measure the data in terms of how much of this is the stay-at-home order ending and how much of this is improved testing and increased testing?
People are free to see whatever data they see and transpose their own narrative. You know, we don't know for sure. Some of it, I'm sure, is due to increased testing. But the fact is that there's community spread in some of the major cities in Arizona. Whether or not we are uncovering more cases, that's a good thing. The thing we have to watch then is, are people being hospitalized, and how many people are being hospitalized, and is that growing? Because those are the serious cases. And those serious cases can be really damaging. Whether or not even you survive it, surviving COVID-19 is not a pleasant experience, and we don't yet know what the long-lasting effects are. So I think we should all try to avoid it, even though many people will get it and it'll turn out quite well. For many people, it won't. Even if you feel personally not super high risk, you should recognize you could carry this to someone else who may be higher risk. And I think we all ought to think about our community and about the state that we care about so much.
Based on where Arizona's at right now, seeing the cases spike and the concern about the economy here, are there suggestions you'd make for the governor? I mean, there have been people talking about we should have a second stay-at-home order issued. He's very loath to do that. But what would you advise if you were giving him advice?
You know, I think I would advise short-term pain for long-term gain. If you look around the world, China's crushed this curve, Greece has crushed this, New Zealand's crushed this, the Czech Republic has crushed this, and their economies are getting back to almost completely normal. But they went through a very tough period of a couple of weeks where they really put the hammer down. And if you're not willing to bring the hammer down, then you have a limp along health system and a limp along economy. You know, the governor should ask himself, if people aren't getting on airplanes or people aren't vacationing come colder weather in Arizona because they're worried, how much of the economy really comes back versus if you took some tough medicine now and said, look, we've done our jobs, we've gotten past this thing, and it was painful, and I thank everybody for it. And whether that has to be complete lockdown or not, I'm not so sure that it does. I mean, my advice to the governor would be to treat it very micro-regionally. If you've got a problem in Phoenix, don't make people in Tucson suffer. If you've got a problem, you can isolate to small areas, and you can just, and I think you'll get some trust by people by saying, look, I won't shut down activity or dampen activity unless and until it becomes absolutely necessary. But when I do, you should trust that I'm seeing things that are very important to stop. And you know, people, I think, wrongly assume that just because a bar or a restaurant is open, that it's safe to go because the governor wouldn't let them do it if it wasn't safe. And I think the governor has a duty to make sure he's very clear about what he's setting people up for.
Here's the great Pat phrase of all time, the cliche, that hindsight is 20/20. Would it have made more sense, regardless of political affiliation, for every governor in every state to have had at least a stay-at-home order for a month or something as we were first learning about this?
If you do a stay-at-home order too early, it's not as bad as doing it too late, but you essentially may have tried the complete patience of your population. And so when it comes time to do it, when you actually need the stay-at-home order, it's very hard to get people to do it. So I think the argument is, particularly going forward, be very precise regionally. Most people in the Northeast know people who have died from coronavirus and certainly know people who are sick from it. And so they can't understand why the rest of the country isn't reacting more strongly. But people in other places, including in Arizona, they may know few or no people that have been sick or died from coronavirus, but they may know a lot of people whose businesses have closed, and they may know people who have lost their jobs. And so their reaction is based upon their experience. It's based upon observation. And so that's what requires leadership at the governor's level to come in and say, hey, here's what could happen here, and we don't want it to happen here. As a governor, you're going to get criticized no matter what you do. And the question you have to ask yourself, if you're Governor Ducey, is which criticism would I rather have? That I was an alarmist and therefore prevented a number of people from dying who didn't need to, or would I rather have the criticism that I was careless with people's lives? That's ultimately what he's going to have to decide and what ultimately he's going to have to live with.
That is Andy Slavitt. He's former acting administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in the Obama administration. He's also host of the podcast In the Bubble. Andy, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, great talking to you, Steve.
A projection from the University of Washington predicts Arizona will see more than 4,000 deaths by early August. Why, and what can individual Arizonans do now to slow the exponential community spread? For these answers and more, our co-host Lauren Gilger spoke with Dr. Farshad Fadi Marvasti, or Dr. Shad, the Director of Public Health Prevention and Health Promotion at the University of Arizona's College of Medicine, Phoenix.
Arizona is now being called, you know, one of the nation's new hotspots for COVID-19. I wonder if you can just start with a little bit about why. Like, what do you think has caused this? And can we easily tie this to reopening? And were there policy decisions that have caused this as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. And obviously, we're getting a great deal of attention here in Arizona, not for the best reasons in terms of our numbers. And I think there's a number of factors that you can attribute to this. One of them, obviously, was early on stated that maybe in part due to increased amount of testing that's being done. But it's pretty clear when you look at all the other indicators that it's not really just because of that. There's many different indicators that show the reason for this is extensive community spread. So the number or percent positive cases that we've had has jumped over a month ago from about 5% to over 11 or 12%. The other thing is these numbers by themselves are actually indicative of real people that are actually sick. And that's the issue, is because we have more folks in the ICU, more folks going into the emergency department, more folks being hospitalized. And because of that, we're straining our healthcare system capacity. And so all of those factors together are really what's involved in this. But when we look at the causes, I think it's not about whether or not we opened too early or too soon, but rather how we opened. Mm-hmm. We made a real big jump from no interactions to almost completely normal interactions where people were not socially distant or physically distant from each other. No one was wearing face coverings or masks in very closed settings, in bars, nightclubs, other settings as well. And I think all of those have really contributed to the big jump in terms of the numbers here in Arizona.
So this wasn't, in your opinion, two things. It wasn't to do with just increasing in testing, and it wasn't just sort of a waiting game, because we've also heard from officials, right, that this was sort of inevitable. Like we put the stay-at-home order in place in order to spread out the flow of the virus, not to stop it, because there is no stopping it.
Yeah, the amount that of jumping in terms of the magnitude of the rise in numbers is so compelling, along with the increase in hospitalizations, that it's definitely not due to testing alone. It's due to extensive community spread, and it is likely due to inadequate social distancing or the lack of face coverings and other precautions that we've all been advised to take, but it seems that we're not taking.
So in the last few minutes here, let's talk a little bit about what you think we should be doing to try to curb this spread. What should we each be doing individually? And then on a policy level, you know, have mistakes been made in your opinion, or do you think there are things that could be put into place that would make a big difference?
Great question. So on an individual level, I think that we need to obviously physically distance ourselves as much as possible, wear face coverings or masks whenever we're in public, particularly in settings where we're in a closed setting inside, indoors, and not able to physically distance. Continue following the guidelines of avoiding touching our face and mouth, and wash hands and surfaces and things like that. I think from another perspective individually, the other thing we can do is actually optimize our health. If you have one of these chronic diseases, if you have high blood pressure, now's the time to check your blood pressure and schedule a virtual visit with your doctor to make sure that your blood pressure is controlled and make sure your diabetes is controlled. Make sure your risk factors for heart disease, if you wanted to lose weight and get on a program to change your diet and exercise, now's the time to do it, because the healthier you are going into this and getting infected, the better off you are on the other side. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that we all have control over, right? I think from a policy perspective, it's really fascinating to watch the discussions ensue and the interplay between science and politics and all the questions that emerge from it. I am really thinking more these days about the changes that we had to make in terms of public health policy around smoking in public settings like restaurants and bars, right? Years ago, that was a big issue in terms of the autonomy of smokers to be able to smoke wherever they wanted until we recognize smoking as a significant health hazard. Now we're getting similar, I think, parallels with the concept of wearing masks because of this pandemic, and whether or not that's becomes more of a public health issue as opposed to an individual decision. And so I think you're going to see more of this discussion evolve in terms of what is the best policy.
Last question for you, Dr. Shad. Have things been done in other states differently that have resulted in better outcomes? I wonder why, when you look at the map of the country, you see Arizona as one of these hotspots, and what you think could have been done differently to not let that happen here.
Well, it's hard to speculate because we're still in the midst of this pandemic and no one is immune from it. Even if we're particularly worse off at the moment, a few weeks from now, another place could be worse than we are. So it's hard to really pass judgment. We have to be flexible. We have to keep paying attention to the data. The early data so far suggests that in places where there have been more restrictions in terms of guidelines and rules for facial coverings and masks, as well as physical distancing all together, those states seem to be doing better at the moment. So long run, we'll see where the data goes, but that's some of the stuff we're looking at. So I think no one's disagreeing with doing that. The question is whether or not there needs to be some kind of legal implication, right, an enforcement of that. No one wants to wear masks all the time. No one wants to be physically distant. It's very difficult from a mental health perspective what's happening. It's had devastating impact on the economy. you know, we realize that, I think, as medical and public health officials as well, that it's not, you can't do any of these things in a vacuum. But given all of that, we have to do what the science and the data says so that we can protect as many lives as possible. You can also make the argument, looking at the U.S., why are more folks dying in the U.S.? Why are more folks more infected? And you can kind of draw parallels between the fact that we lead the world in being overweight and obese. We're, you know, in the top five for diabetes and heart disease. We're number one for chronic disease in the world. That obviously makes us more susceptible for these things. So that part of it, at least, I think, is in our hands.
All right. That is Dr. Shad, the Director of Public Health Prevention and Health Promotion at the University of Arizona's Medical School here in Phoenix. Dr. Shad, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate the time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.